Welcome to Third Angle, where you find us staying hydrated without a plastic water bottle in sight. I'm your host, Paul Hames from industrial software company PTC. In this podcast, we share the moments where digital transforms physical, and we meet the brilliant minds behind some of the most innovative products around the world, each powered by PTC technology. Picture this. You're in the midday heat on a drilling site in some remote part of the US. It's time for a water break. Turning on a tap and expecting clean, drinkable water is something we all rely on. But for many of these remote sites, giving workers access to potable or drinking water can involve transporting in large amounts of bottled water. That's a lot of trucks on the road and a lot of plastic waste. Waterfleet, based in Texas, have come up with a solution, turning any groundwater supply into perfectly clean drinking water. A mobile unit connects to an existing well or water storage unit, processes the water whilst continually monitoring the quality to ensure it's safe. They can even treat the domestic wastewater, processing it to a reusable standard that can be used for irrigation, dust suppression, or other on-site applications. We sent our producer, Eva Ruth, to the Waterfleet headquarters in San Antonio, Texas, to meet the Director of Business Intelligence, David Myers. He takes us inside one of their water rigs and explains the positive effect this technology has on their clients by providing a reliable, clean water supply.
Yeah, my name's David Myers. I'm a director of business intelligence at Waterfleet. I've been here over 7 years now. Watched the company grow and change to what it is today. We are in San Antonio, Texas. We're at our corporate headquarters. This is kind of where everything happens out of. We also have field offices in Midland. This is kind of the home base for our operations, our compliance, engineering, HR, our bridge, which we'll show you later, which is our 24/7 kind of command center. We also have our shop and facilities, so make ready, maintenance on our units. It's kind of the hub. It's where everything kind of flows out of. You can see up here, you know, one of our mission statements is right on the wall in huge letters. It says, "We are a solutions-based company of innovators dedicated to the belief that clean, safe water is a basic human right, even in the most challenging situations." We built that as a company, right? That wasn't one person saying this is what we do. This was all of our ideas together. Pretty powerful statement, and it's something to fall back on. You know, when you first get onboarded here, you know, our new hire classes come right through here. It's the first thing they see when they walk in, right? It's a powerful statement. It's kind of our core mission, and all of our solutions and technologies are built around that. We're walking up to our water rig. We get a glass of water. Good. There was a unique problem going on in the energy space in Texas. Our CEO, Alan Pyle, was actually at a high school football game on a Friday night, and he was talking to a friend of his, and his friend was complaining. He's like, you know, Alan, I've got 20 to 30 people living on this camp. It's in the middle of nowhere. You know, birds barely fly through this area. And we're having to haul in non-potable water from over 100 miles away to my camp. And that non-potable water is then being used by the people on the site that are living there, away from their families. They're showering in it. They're brushing their teeth with it. They're using it for coffee. And their skin's itching. It's nasty water. It's not potable water. And Alan kind of scratched his head, and I think he said, I can fix that. You know, I think I can use my skill sets, and I think we can design something to help you guys. So Alan, you know, got a piece of paper and kind of built the water rig. But what the water rig is at its core is a mobile water treatment technology. So Alan and, you know, he's retired now, but Bob Nickel, they, they rigged up the first water rig at this energy camp. And he told them, if it works, you guys pay for it. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. So they went out there and rigged it up themselves, rented a 3/4-ton diesel truck, hauled it out to South Texas, and set it up. And it, you know, one day went by, it worked really well. Another day went by, still working. Another day went by, this is going really well. And, you know, it kind of dramatically changed the life of the people living on that site. All of a sudden, they had verified potable water. Just an incredible thing to think about, you know, in the middle of nowhere. They deserve that. And they didn't have that prior. So that's what started Waterfleet, was this water rig, this blue trailer you see behind you. It's a bumper pull trailer. So it went well. They got some money together, built another one. Now there's over 150 of them and growing and changing. They're getting bigger. They're changing designs, different integrations, different solutions. The second iteration of that was, well, we have all this wastewater on site that we have to haul off 100 plus miles to a wastewater treatment plant, which puts pressure on the roads, it puts pressure on the communities, it puts pressure on those wastewater treatment systems for usually these really remote towns. So that's when we designed the reclaimer rig. And the reclaimer rig takes all that wastewater that the people are generating on site and makes it reusable for dust suppression, irrigation, downhole, whatever it may be. So then all of a sudden, you've eliminated all the haul in of water and all the haul in out of wastewater, right? Pretty great impact for the people living on site. Their quality of life's improved. Their health and safety's improved. The communities in which we operate are improving. No more big, heavy trucks coming in twice a day. And then obviously the environmental win's huge too. You're using water that's already on site and making it potable. And then you're taking that wastewater and reusing it on the site. So as far as our water stewardship goes, it's a huge deal. And it's how it should be. And we've kind of raised the status quo out there. And people don't really tolerate hauling in non-potable water. It's not the way to do things anymore. And it's dangerous. And it's not the right thing to do.
All right, let's go in.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, we're in the water rig. Looking around, there's a lot going on in here, right? There's a lot of technology, a lot of automation, a lot of sensors, flow meters, pressure sensors, tank level sensors, injection pumps. All of that was very intentionally designed, right? So if we're going to solve the challenge of providing potable water in a remote area when we're not on site all the time, your systems better back it up, right? So what you're seeing here is a highly automated water treatment. The trailer can A, protect itself from water quality getting out of parameters that would make it not potable. So before this product water gets to a place where it would not be safe for drinking, way before it, it'll shut itself down, it'll alarm, we'll know about it. That was challenge number one. Challenge number two was, how do we monitor these systems remotely? So if they're going to be out there 24/7, 365, and we don't have somebody on site all the time, which is an energy space, that's the case. How can we control this unit remotely from a phone, from a computer? So technically, you know, these systems can run for days and days without anybody needing to check on them. And here's our in-house lab. So it's quiet in here today. Because we're providing drinking water and wastewater services in remote areas, there's a big need to verify that and to have a third-party lab verify the quality of the water and the quality of the wastewater. So we have an internal team that does the testing on all of it, and we also send all that away to a third-party lab to confirm our findings. So that's a huge effort of what we do. So here's our biotech fridge. As you can see here, here's reclaimer samples, right? So this is... That was wastewater. That was domestic wastewater from an energy camp, meaning all of the water that came from flushing toilets, sinks, cleaning of whatever, all that went to our reclaimer rig. And what you're seeing here is the result of that. And I'm holding up to the light and you can see right through it. I mean, it's beautiful. And every sample looks like that here. So that's the result of a lot of R&D, product development, improvement, having our field guys really learn their craft and take pride in it. I used to help in the lab, and there are way smarter people in here these days than when I was in here. So it's been neat to see the evolution. You know, we started seeing this need for these displaced communities during disasters, hurricanes along the Gulf Coast, especially during Harvey. That's really started it all the way to firefighters and U.S. Forest Service, right? These communities get displaced. We evacuate a whole town because a hurricane's coming. Well, after the hurricane comes through, that town's infrastructure is pretty decimated. The wastewater treatment plants, the water treatment plants, they can't operate. They've lost power. Their pumping infrastructure's down. How the heck do we have water now? And also, you have all these people moving in to help repair the town. Linemen, all of that. So you have all these big disaster response camps that come in, set up temporary camps to provide the essential services to get the city back up or the town back up on its feet. Well, this makes sense, right? I'm pointing to water rig. Makes sense. We can take that compromised water source and treat it, making it potable water for the kitchens, for the people living on those sites, the showering at the end of a long day of hard work. So that kind of grew and started going too. And from there, also the construction facilities were used to have 1 million bottles of water out there for 5,000 employees. Well, we can treat the water out there and dispense it and get rid of your plastic bottles, and we can guarantee potable drinking water. During Hurricane Ian in Florida, it hit the southwest part of Florida in 2022. And I'll never forget, we got this phone call. I won't say her name, but she called the bridge, and she's like, "I just want to thank you guys." You know, her voice getting kind of shaky. I saw what you guys did for our community, and what you're doing for the people that are supporting the rebuild of our community. And I just want to say thank you, right? Like, that stuff is, that's the good stuff. I'm proud of everything we do, but when you can impact somebody enough that they call to thank you for what you're doing, especially halfway across the country, man, that's incredible. That keeps all of us ticking. So it's what we call the bridge. It's our 24/7 remote operations dispatch command center. You have two teams, kind of two core functionalities that happen in this room. One is the dispatch and logistics of our people and our equipment. The other team is our remote operations team. That team is solely dedicated to the remote operation of our mobile water and wastewater treatment technology. So you can see on the board here, right, that's the inside of the water rig. We can control it all remotely. Anything you can control in there, we can do from here remotely for all of our assets across the country. And what you're seeing across the other six screens is what we call sonar. And sonar is a proprietary technology we built in-house that, you know, monitors these systems for us in real time and lets us know anything that's going out of parameters, any alarm set point, all that. We can see it all for all of our assets 24/7 on this screen. And all this data is being stored in a data warehouse every couple seconds, so we can have the data to support what we say we do. In a normal world, if you're operating over 100 water and 100 wastewater systems, you would need a team of, 20 people. But because we developed this technology that does all the active monitoring for us and logging of the data, it allows A, the systems to run more autonomously, but then B, it allows our people in here in the bridge to be able to support our customers and our people that are operating on the systems. That's the bridge. We had a big freeze. Was it 2 weeks ago, Brent?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, I thought.
You had 90 plus hours in West Texas that was below freezing. It's a hard time of year to operate water and wastewater treatment systems that are mobile with exposed piping. This room was buzzing. There's a lot going on. You know, it's just, we got through it, and I'm really proud of all the work our teams did. But it takes a level of intensity to keep these systems running, to communicate with the customers, you know, to kind of navigate that kind of weather event. What drives me to keep pushing forward with Waterfleet is being part of the products that impact people for good. Also being a part of the innovation and challenging the status quo of our technology in the places we implement it in, as well as the reward of building teams to support that. Waterfleet's passionate about the environmental benefit of our products, as well as the health and well-being and quality of life of our end user. So that guides what we do, how we do it, and how we support it. So everything we're doing kind of inherently, it's plugged into that, which is nice. It's just kind of this thing we not take for granted, but it's just this thread that kind of woven between all of our support staffs and all of our technology, that what we do is positive for the environment. You're getting rid of plastic, single-use water bottles. You know, being a good steward of the local water supply, you know, being able to reuse wastewater, a stream that wouldn't have been there in the first place. So, you know, we're being good stewards of the environmental aspect, but then also really the end user and providing a quality product to them that can improve their quality of life, their health, lack of exposure to waterborne illnesses. It's just funny. It's neat to talk about because it's just something I'm used to. Because all of our technology, you can throw through that lens and it makes sense. It's nice to talk about it and kind of be reminded of that, especially during challenging days. You know, we're doing something good out there and we're challenging the status quo, and hopefully other people come to meet us there because we're going to do it one way or another.
That was David Myers from Waterfleet. As David mentions, Waterfleet are really impacting people for good by supplying clean, safe water in the most challenging situations. Now, in order to do that, they need to minimize unplanned downtime and be confident that all assets are operating correctly. And this is where ServiceMax, PTC's asset-centric field service management solution, comes into play. Time to meet our expert, Sarah Cheruti, who is Vice President of Customer Transformation at PTC. Sarah, we've not spoken about ServiceMax before. Are you able to give our listeners a high-level overview of what it is?
So ServiceMax is an asset-centric field service management solution that allows our customers to leverage a comprehensive set of cloud-native tools and enable customer stakeholders to proactively manage, maintain, and service critical assets throughout their life cycle. While ServiceMax obviously is designed to help service customers, keep an eye on their costs and maintain their costs, it's also a tool that helps to drive value and value added from service processes. We currently have about 350 customers using ServiceMax from asset-centric industries such as medical devices, industrial manufacturing, energy, and oil and gas. Just to give you a sense of scale, currently, there's about 300 million assets that are being maintained and serviced within the ServiceMax solution. And our customers leverage ServiceMax to issue at least one work order every second with ServiceMax.
And how does critical field service keep Waterfleet's products running in order to help people or places?
So as you just heard David describe in the podcast, Waterfleet's water and reclaimer rigs are brought to sites where there's no access to clean water, primarily either due to the remoteness of the location itself or to support in the case of events triggered by natural disasters. So the Waterfleet rigs are highly automated and they're designed to work with human minimal intervention. So this means that the maintenance on these rigs needs to be done on time and to exacting standards in order to ensure that they're operational when they are needed. Because it's difficult and time-consuming to reach the remote locations where the rigs are located, maintenance needs to be done proactively whenever possible, and it needs to be done right the first time, or these critical water resources that people depend on in an emergency can be interrupted. The ServiceMax asset management capability allows Waterfleet to know where their rigs are deployed and what maintenance needs to be performed on those rigs in order that they continue to deliver clean water without interruptions. The service planners use the data in ServiceMax to ensure that they have clear line of sight to the right technicians with the right skills and the right parts to ensure that scheduled maintenance is completed on time, and even more importantly, that emergency repairs can be completed as quickly as possible to guarantee clean and safe water, even in the most challenging of situations.
Huge thank you to David Myers for showing us around the Waterfleet headquarters in Texas. Please rate, review, and subscribe to our bi-weekly Third Angle episodes wherever you listen to your podcasts, and follow PTC on LinkedIn and X for future episodes. This is an 1860 production for PTC. Executive producer is Jackie Cook. Recording by Eva Ruth. Sound design and editing by Clarissa Maycock. And music by Rowan Bishop.